Right. My main theme is about two on the road to Emmaus. When things don't happen the way we expect them to or want them to, we get very discouraged. And as you could tell from that reading, the disciples thought that Jesus was going to redeem Israel. He was going to be the new king and whatever, you know, whatever they thought he was going to be. Even though he told them enough times that what was going to happen, when he died, they were discouraged. And we're the same, aren't we? You know, discouragement is something that affects everybody. If we want things to be the way we want them and they're not, we can easily get discouraged about the situation. So I'm just clearly talking about these two on the road to Emmaus. They didn't have the New Testament, the first disciples, but they had Jesus. You know, they had the living proof. Jesus was with them, talked with them, encouraged them, taught them, opened the scriptures, the Old Testament to them for 3 whole years. And he was very patient and loving with them. You know, there's only a couple of times, I think, where it says that Jesus was angry at a situation. And it wasn't with his disciples, it was usually with the people like the money changers. So he was so patient with them. I can imagine in the 3 years, they must have heard everything that they needed to hear. But like us, you know, they only heard what they wanted to hear very often. They didn't want to hear that Jesus was going to be taken. I mean, he didn't run away from those that took him to the cross. He just let them take him because it was what had to be done. It was the only thing that could be done. But they couldn't understand that. You know, they couldn't understand it, even though he'd explained it all to them. So these two on the road to Emmaus, they were so sad and downhearted. And, you know, if you're with someone who's discouraged, you get discouraged. It reads it, you know. Unless you get with somebody who builds you up when you're discouraged, it's easy to draw someone else down with you. And that's what they were doing, I suppose. They were heartbroken and they're very sad. And they said that Jesus had died and left them. That's how they saw it. So they were really making each other sad by the words that they were speaking to each other. And, you know, they were saying things, what are we going to do now? You know, it's all over, it's finished. Nothing left. You know, the main point of it all was died. But we know different, and they were to come to know different, that it was only the beginning. But what, and I think it's lovely that Jesus actually joined those two. He didn't have to. He could have just gone straight with the rest of the disciples and showed himself, like he did later. But he went for those two. He joined them on the road. He must have just fallen in step with them as they were walking along. And as was read, you know, he was thinking, what's the matter? Why are you so sad? And they couldn't believe that he must be the only person in the world, the known world, that didn't know what had happened. So they told him what he already knew, but he listened. You know, we got to tell him how we feel. Even if he only knows, and of course he does, because God knows everything. You know, it's good to talk. That's what BC used to say. But it is good to talk to each other, but especially to God. You know, it's good to tell him how you feel. And then after we've said our bit, then we've got to listen to what he has to say. And it's not easy in this day and age, with technology and everything, to sit quietly and listen to the voice of God. But he does speak to us. In our prayer meeting this morning before church, God reminded me of a word that he'd given me ages ago, and I'll just read it to you. It's so simple. Come up higher. Come up nearer. Come up closer. That's all God wants us to do. Get closer to him. More to him. Come out from the level you're at and get higher. Well, that's wonderful. You know, God speaks to us all the time. And just like that, he spoke to these two that were on the road. He encouraged them. He spoke the scriptures over them, told them what the prophets had said, what all the prophecies that were being fulfilled through Jesus. You can imagine their hearts burning, my heart burning in me, just talking about it. You know, and I'd like to think that as we read our Bibles, our hearts burn within us. If they don't, ask God for understanding, wisdom and knowledge of His Word. I do read a lot of the Bible and don't get it straight away, but it's wonderful how, you know, after years of knowing the Lord, you suddenly read a passage and it comes alive in you. You know, you think, I knew this, but I didn't know it. I know it now in my heart. And that's why they said, didn't our hearts burn within us? Because what Jesus was saying was life and truth and hope.
Amen.
Living hope. Not, oh, I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow, or, although I hope it would rain tomorrow. But you know, it's not that kind of hope, it's a living hope. It's a hope of life eternal.
Mm-hmm.
And as they said, didn't our hearts burn within us?
Mm-hmm.
I've gone off my words, I've gone that way. So, but you know, but what they do, as soon as, I'll carry on first of all, the wonderful thing, when they got to where they were going, Jesus, I think he was pretending as if he was going to go on. Because he wanted them to say, come and share food with us. We went into the house with him. And isn't it wonderful that as he broke the bread, their eyes were opened. They knew who he was. At that moment, oh, they must have thought, oh, if only we knew he was first, you know, we just said the right things. You know, so often we would, if we're with people and we don't know quite who they are, would say the right things. So I'll just tell you a funny story, because, you know, God loves humour as well. We did a thing in Rotary years and years ago, and I was asked by this lady who'd organised it if I would greet people at the door. And just hold a few people in. And I knew that the guest speaker was going to be the Bishop of Birmingham. But there were very people coming with Birmingham, and with dog collars and robes and all the rest of it. So I was greeting them. Nice to meet you, I'm Wendy. Who are you? And I greeted this one man and I said, nice to meet you, I'm Wendy. Who are you? And he said, oh, I'm the Bishop of Birmingham. And I couldn't believe that I didn't realise who he was. Now I've realised who he was. Perhaps I'd have gone, oh, you're great. But I don't think so, it's not in me. But what I mean, if they'd known who Jesus was, so the minute he started walking with them, I think they would have been different. They wouldn't have been as honest with him as they were. And he wanted them to be honest. He wanted to hear their hearts. And then he helped them by the way that he spoke to them. And then when they realised who he was, and I think it's just so significant with the breaking of bread, that although they'd asked him to come and have supper because it was the end of the day, and they walked 7 miles, they didn't waste any time, they got straight up and they walked 7 miles back to tell the rest of them that they were Jesus. And sometimes we have to go the extra mile and to tell someone about Jesus. You know, we have to put ourselves out.
Yeah.
They, you know, put themselves out that night because it was so important to let the rest of them know Jesus is alive.
Yeah.
And so they went back. I pray that we will go that extra mile. I have disappointed, I wouldn't say disappointed God, but I've disappointed myself a few times when I've had opportunities to speak about him, and I haven't. And I wish I had. But God loves us, and he says, next time. So every opportunity you have to talk about Jesus, to help someone in their time of need, if you miss it, don't worry about it, just wait for the next one. There will always be a next one. So they were so excited to know that Jesus was alive, and they wanted everyone to share in their joy. Isn't that what we want?
Yes.
We want everyone to have the joy that we've got.
Yes.
Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. We all have a personal faith. And when I first became a Christian, and when I tried to talk to my mum and dad about Jesus, my mum would say, it's personal. But you keep it to yourself. You don't talk about it. But, you know, we have a personal faith and in God, and Jesus loves us as individuals. But Jesus said, in the last part of the reading we had this morning, go and tell. He said, wait for the Holy Spirit, because you need the Holy Spirit in you. So if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, or you don't think you are, you can get grateful this morning, and God will give you the power to do what he's called you to do. But Jesus said, go and tell. They call this the Great Commission. that we must go into all the world and preach the good news. Because if we don't, then people won't know. If we don't tell them, how will they know? And one of the things that said in the reading is, the Lord is risen indeed. I think that's when they got back to the disciples. The two on the road said, the Lord is risen indeed. And I just want to say that morning loudly, the Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Now, just by the way, that I read recently, I think it was on Facebook, not sure, but it really, I've heard it before, and if you didn't know it, I'd like you to know it. In the custom in the Jewish households in Jesus' day, anyway, I don't know if they still do it, when the master got up from the table, say, I was going to say something for the phone, but whatever it was, and he hadn't finished the meal, he would fold his napkin neatly and put it at the side of his plate. And then the servant knew that he was coming back to the table that he hadn't finished. Well, isn't it wonderful? In John 20, verse 7, you read it, it says that the cloth that covered Jesus' face was neatly folded to the side. The rest of the clothes were probably in the jumble, but the cloth that his face was neatly folded to the side, and Jesus knew the custom that he was letting them know, I'm coming back. And he did. He rose from the grave, hallelujah, and is coming back for each one of us, which means we can enjoy this life now if we want to, or we can just look to the day Jesus comes. He is coming back, but he wants us to work and to do what he's called us to do between that time and now. We want to just sit and be thankful we're saved. We've got to get out there and tell the world that Jesus is alive. Just those two on the road, they had no choice. They had to go back to Jerusalem and tell them, he is risen indeed. And we come together as a body of Christ. This is wonderful, Sunday mornings, wonderful. And in midweek when we get together, we come to worship him, to remember all he's done for us, all he is to us, and how one day we will see him face to face. But let's not keep it here. Richard spoke it. So I didn't just said this morning to sort of confirm what I was going to say. You know, it's good to meet as a body, and it's good to worship together and to lift the roof with the praises of the Lord. But we've got to go out there and tell the people. That's it really. And as I said, I wanted communion after because I wanted to say, as we come to communion, remember those words of the two on the road. They knew who he was through the breaking of bread. If you don't know Jesus this morning, personally, you might know all about him. Some people know the Bible back to front and they don't know Jesus personally. If you don't know Jesus personally, as we break this bread and drink this wine this morning, as we remember the Lord's death, as we say, till he comes, and as we break the bread, ask Jesus into your heart, into your life. He'll come straight away. There's no holding back with Jesus. If he knows your heart's right with him, you know, what I mean by that is that if he knows you definitely want him to come in, he'll be there like a shot. But Jesus wants your life to be filled with him so that you can live for him, so that you can have everything to him. Last week I was in Rosary Church and Christine Lewis spoke and she was brilliant. And one of the things she said, well, two things actually I just mentioned, she said we are human beings, not human doings. God just wants us to be, just to be there for him in whatever way he calls us. What to be doing all the time. It's good to do. We're called to be human beings. I can't remember the other thing, but it was really good. But I wrote a little verse down from a song which I'd like us to bear in mind as we come to communion, because, you know, totally going off the subject, sorry. They built memorials in the Old Testament. When something good happened, they built a memorial because they didn't want to forget, because we're human, we forget. And so when we have communion, that's a memorial. We are remembering the Lord's death till he comes. If we didn't do that, we'd be tempted, I think, to forget what did for us. And I've written down these words, lest we forget Gethsemane, lest we forget thine agony, lest we forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary. For this morning I pray that each one of us as we come to Calvary and remember what Jesus did for us, that we will, if we haven't fully given our hearts to him, that we will do that this morning.